And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge. DJ and Bucky back here with you. Buck, what's going on, man?
Not too much, man. Getting ready for these games, week three. I'm really excited to see what goes down. This is the final dress rehearsal, the final time that we'll see the starters in the preseason. So this will be as real as it gets when it comes to preseason football.
Yeah, it is. It's as good as it gets. I do think it's not quite as important as it used to be. I felt like that week three, we really saw a lot of these guys go a full three quarters. Now we're not quite seeing quite as much of that. But it is, in terms of the preseason, it's as real as it gets. We'll get to previewing some of these week three matchups here and what we're looking forward to in just a minute. Also going to hit on the Jets, Teddy Bridgewater, what should they do? My thoughts on the Chargers-Saints joint practice. Got a chance to check that out yesterday. We'll continue our previews with the AFC-NFC North and talk some breakout players. But before we get there, Buck, let's talk about a guy we both know real well, and Doug Peterson. Got a new book out, and I thought this was just it was fascinating, the realness and the honesty here about his thoughts watching last year's AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. Look, Doug Peterson was on a roll as a play caller throughout the entire season, but really in the postseason, what he did with Nick Foles to help him play at a Super Bowl MVP level, he deserves a lot of credit. And I think the book sheds light on his overall philosophy of just being very, very aggressive, going for it, trying to seize the moment when the moment is there in the game. And I thought it was interesting that he decided to criticize Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone for not kind of making a play to see if they could score points at the end of the first half of the AFC.
Took their foot off the gas.
Game. Yes, and I think players sense when the coach is kind of dialing it back, throttling it back. If you're a guy that stands in front of the room and you constantly tell your team, we're going to go for it, we're going to be aggressive, that's their mindset, that's their mentality, that's what they expect their coach to do. And so when you change that, they begin to lose a little trust in you. And I think Doug Peterson was really speaking to that when he said, man, they had timeouts, they had plenty of time. You got to go. You got to go for it.
Yeah, we got to go back to the Denny Green. Second episode in a row we referenced Denny Green. Let him off the hook. You can't let him off the hook. You got to stay, keep your foot on the gas. And look at the way he coached in that Super Bowl, ultra-aggressive, fourth downs. Obviously, everybody knows about Philly Special down there, little trick play down there with everything on the line. So be aggressive. I think when you look at coaching, just really any sport, any level, I think there is something that they have in common there, just being able to kind of go for it and not being scared. If you're scared, get a dog. And I think back to Nick Saban calling the onside kick against Clemson a couple years ago when they won it. So to me, you get in big moments, you see guys that rise up or guys that shrink. The thing that caught me off guard is I didn't think he would go there. Doug Marrone in the book. But
yeah,
hey, let's sell some books.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that he went there. But I also think it's part of a bigger issue when you're coaching and you're a play caller. Do you trust your quarterback? I think the thing for Doug Peterson, he trusted his quarterback, whether it was Wentz, whether it was Foles. He trusted that his quarterback would get it done. Doug Marrone ultimately didn't trust that Blake Bortles could make those plays in critical moments. He was trying to play safe as opposed to going for the win. And sometimes in playing safe, it ultimately backfired. Look, they did enough where they should have won that AFC Championship game. But Doug shed light on an important part where if you got a chance to knock the champion out in the first half, go ahead and try and deliver the haymaker because you could catch him.
Yeah, you can't be in the business of trying to hide players. That's not going to work. You got to feature players. Don't hide them. And I think that's one thing Doug Peterson did extremely well. And I think the title of the book is genius, Fearless, How an Underdog Becomes a Champion. And I think everybody knows about the underdog and the masks and all that thing. But to me, the word fearless in there, that was what that Philadelphia Eagles team was all about. By the way, Philadelphia Eagles team, apparently not as talented as Cleveland Browns, by the way, as we're learning from Michael Kendricks. Got a little laugh out of that one. Look, hey. They play each other week three. That'll be fun.
Hey, I mean, you know, the Browns are talented. Like watching Hard Knocks, a lot of talented guys on the squad.
I did talk to somebody that had spent a lot of time looking at their team and said, hey, they're more talented than they were than they've been. We'll still give you that. Now, I don't know if they're as talented as a team coming off a Super Bowl win, but the team that Cleveland has assembled under John Dorsey with the additions they've made over the last year is much improved. And I think we will see that reflected in the win-loss column there. And we're going to get to the Browns in our AFC North preview here in just a little bit. How about a couple of these games? Week 3 preview, Buck, preseason, Eagles-Browns. Touched on a little bit here. That's one of them to look at. Giants Jets is one that's caught my eye as well. What stands out to you?
In both of those games, the Eagles and the Browns, I kind of want to see what Baker Mayfield does when he gets his opportunity. I know people haven't talked about Tyrod Taylor much, but he's
Tyrod, played, nicely yeah, done there, by the way.
I'm trying to slide in. I'm trying to be respectful. he's been pretty good in Todd Haley's offense. I kind of want to see what Todd Haley does this week, because more time, more playing time for the starters. Does he give us a full peek of what that offense could be? Because he's done a really good job of crafting and creating some easy opportunities for the quarterback. Let's see what he does against a really good defense. And then for the Giants and the Jets, Saquon Barkley, I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I want to continue to see the layers that Pat Shurmur's added to this offense for Eli Manning. We know they've always relied on the quick game with Odell Beckham Jr. taking slants, but do they have shifts and motions? What other concepts are they featuring? How is he going to help his aging quarterback play at a high level?
Yeah, of course, Sam Darnold gets another start there, and we've kind of said, hey, you know how high the bar is there. Just be competent. If he's competent, he will be the week one starter for the Jets, have no doubt whatsoever. When I look through some of these other games, Chiefs-Bears, looking forward to that one. Some interesting storylines there. You got Matt Nagy going back to face his former team and his mentor there in Andy Reid. But let's see Patrick Mahomes again. You know, all that buzz created off that one big throw. Played really well in that game, minus two throws. Had the one interception, floated it down the sideline. Another one should have been picked down there in the red zone. Can he keep a clean sheet? That's what I'm looking for in that game. Can Patrick Mahomes show there that he's making good decisions, protect the football against a Bears defense that does have some speed there on display? And also Trubisky, let's see, is he getting more comfortable getting his sea legs in this new offense?
You know, here's the thing. No one has talked about Trubisky, but he hasn't been great in the preseason. Had two silly turnovers last week, one against Bradley Chubb, got sacked, lost the ball, safety. Another interception. I need to see him play better. The one thing we can talk about with Carson Wentz and with Jared Goff, you can see signs in the preseason that those guys were ready to bust out in their second year. I haven't seen that yet from Trubisky, so I'm beginning to wonder, does he have that club in his bag? Will he always need to be a guy that needs to be managed? I know it's a new offense, a new system, but last year at this time, we saw Carson Wentz and Jared Goff make huge strides over what they were their rookie seasons.
And when you watch the Chiefs play, and if you get a chance, you can go Game Pass once these games become available to everybody, the All-22. Do yourself a favor. If you love football, go watch the Game Pass, the All-22 footage of an Andy Reid-designed offense.
Unbelievable.
Buck, the creativity is so good, man. And he's going to set Pat Mahomes up. I think you're going to see a ton of screen game early on as he kind of gets him comfortable and make him, you know, just try and dial it back just a little bit. You can do that with play calling. I think you'll see them really kind of just empty the bucket there of all the creative screens that Andy Reid has in his playbook.
Yeah, I mean, he has so many of them. Like, having been with him in Green Bay, he was on the coaching staff when I was playing there. Coach Holmgren was the head coach, and part of the West Coast offense is to have a ton of screens. And he has certainly taken that from Coach Holmgren's playbook, added something to it. They are one of the best screen teams, and their ability to use the running backs in the passing game will be a major factor. Quietly, Kareem Hunt was a very, very effective receiver for the Chiefs a season ago.
No question. How about 49ers-Colts? Another chance to see two more intriguing quarterbacks. I'll tell you what, this is why I'm excited about the NFL right now. We have so many young quarterbacks that have fan bases excited and get a chance to study these guys. There's a lot of promise there. And then we've got a great storyline there with Andrew Luck. Are we going to see the same Andrew Luck that we saw when he was younger? I haven't seen him yet, Buck. I haven't seen that same Andrew Luck show up. We'll see if we see him in this one against the 49ers. But going to be fun. Keep an eye on Garoppolo and this offense, how it continues to grow and evolve with his comfort level there with Shanahan. And let's see what Andrew Luck looks like. I will say, underrated storyline, that Colts defense, sneaky good. Sneaky good defense this year.
That's funny. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you talking about the Colts defense being sneaky.
They're
good.
Flying around. They're playing hard, man. When you watch them in the preseason,
they are playing hard, but
not bad.
I don't know how good they're going to be.
Like, I think this reminds me of kind of one of those Marinelli coach defenses, and I know there's some influence there
for sure
because Eberflus came from Marinelli. Where the group, I think the group has a chance to be better than the individual collection of players.
We'll see when we get into these games. We'll see if Jimmy Garoppolo has 250 yards in the first half. Just know,
call me.
That I'm gonna get you a call. I'm gonna call you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
text
you,
call me.
Or whatever. I will say this, and speaking about scripting, for both offenses, I want to see what those opening scripts look like for their quarterbacks. For Andrew Luck, watching him against Baltimore, a lot of dink and dunk. They tried to protect him. He had a tough time kind of finding a rhythm early in the game, and he was okay. Jimmy Garoppolo, man, Kyle Shanahan is setting this dude up with layup after layup after layup after layup. Yeah. He was on fire against the Houston Texans coming out the gate. This being the final dress rehearsal, man, I can't – who knows what the Niners would do. I just know it's going to be exciting to watch them move people around the chessboard and see if Jimmy Garoppolo can continue to connect with them over and over and over again.
Give me a couple, maybe one or two games that we haven't mentioned yet that you're looking forward to, maybe a storyline in there.
Falcons and the Jaguars. I want to see the Atlanta Falcons defense. If the Jacksonville Jaguars are now the gold standard for defensive play, I want to see what their talent looks like on defense compared to the Falcons' talent. And how far away are the Falcons' defense from being one of those teams that we talked about as one of the elite? They're fast, they're physical, they fly around, they do a really good job of playing in a simple scheme. But let's see if they can out Jacksonville when it comes to playing great defense.
That's a good one. Give me one more. Maybe one more game here before we move on.
Oh, we talked about this, and we're going to talk about it because I think it would be a good topic. How about the Saints and the Chargers? Mm-hmm. Two great quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. We may not even see those guys. But the talent on the outside, the young guys, the pass catchers, the playmakers, I'm excited to see that. Man, I can't wait to see Keenan Allen go against Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, it was interesting going out there, and I guess I can just hit this now. We're going to hit it a little bit later, but let's just do it right now. Talking about the joint practice, went out there and watched the Chargers and the Saints get some good work in. And Keenan Allen actually spent a lot of time with Crawley. So he had his way with Crawley a little bit there. Did a nice job. And then really the Chargers receiving core more than held their own. Mike Williams hit a couple pops down the field. Travis Benjamin hit another. They got hit on a deep ball from Phillip Rivers. They did pretty well. I would say it definitely slanted in their favor. It's going to be fun, though, watching Mike Williams and Marshawn Lattimore played against each other in college with Ohio State and Clemson, trained with each other, going up and getting ready for the combine. Both end up being high picks. So hopefully we get to see them square off a little bit in this game. But a couple guys from the Saints that jumped out to me, Buck. The right tackle, Ramczyk, and I liked him coming to the draft. I had him in the 20s. He looks like a really, really good football player at right tackle. And this offensive line as a whole is in really good shape. I think it's one of the better lines in the league. I would say, Max Unger moves around really well. Andrews Pete is just massive. He can create some movement in the run game. Armstead's a really good left tackle. I mentioned Ramczyk. I would say Larry Warford might be the weak link in the bunch, but he still can generate some movement in the run game and is a powerful dude and is kind of firm in there. So really, really good offensive line. That jumped out to me about the Saints. Look at the running backs. The one who's got a chance, who surprised me a little bit there, was Jonathan Williams, the old Arkansas running back, who's going to get a chance to get some work here with Ingram suspended. So he was one I would definitely keep an eye on there for their offense. And when you flip it around to the defense, underrated linebacking core. DeMario Davis is a good football player. Shoots his gun. He's aggressive. Trusts his eyes. He's a good one. They did a nice job. Their linebackers matching up with the tight ends and backs and coverage. I thought that's a pretty good group there. And then on the defensive front, everybody knows about Cam Jordan. Did get a chance to see Marcus Davenport, their first-round pick, who's finally getting healthy. And he was pretty dominant in the one-on-ones just with the power that he possesses. Still trying to figure things out, Buck. But this Saints team is a good football team. This Chargers team, know them quite well. It's a loaded roster as well. So it's been fun to watch them get some work in. And I do think very valuable with these joint practices.
Yeah, the joint practices are terrific. The biggest benefit of being in a joint practice, it is an ultra competitive environment, meaning you get to go 11-on-11 against another team, another scheme, people flying around trying to kind of earn their way onto the roster on tape. The thing that I like about it is still a controlled environment. The head coaches can quick whistle to make sure you don't hit the quarterback. You can put some other things to kind of protect your guys. And I think as we continue to evolve in this CBA era, I believe you will see even more teams elect to do joint practices rather than play their guys in preseason games.
Yeah, you talk about the energy. It was a great energy out there practice. Desmond King ended up getting a pick six from the nickel spot on Drew Brees. And, you know, the Chargers, when they get a touchdown or a turnover, they like to get together and take their picture. So they all pose, and that kind of ruffled some feathers
like
with the Saints, but in a good-natured way. And then the Saints end up getting a pick with Marcus Williams, and so then their whole sideline basically ran to go celebrate. So that was fun, and teams are kind of – they're talking to each other, but you could see them smiling after they were talking. So they had fun with that. And then towards the end of the session there, I think it was Melvin Ingram who got a nasty bull rush. And, oh, you're not supposed to touch the quarterback. He did kind of just flip the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. Drew didn't look too pleased about it, but it popped up. And I think Darius Filon was the beneficiary. He caught it and ran, and then all the Chargers went and celebrated. But it was it definitely, in the middle of camp, it brought some energy. And I had to do it, Buck. I had to go talk to our buddy. I had to go talk to Michael Thomas, the wide receiver who loves to give us a hard time.
How was that? Can't guard Mike.
He was great. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and they were doing one-on-ones with their offense against Chargers defense on the far field, so I was trying to keep an eye on it. And he looked outstanding. I'll tell you what he does. He is a master. He's a foot fire release guy, and he's a foot fire at the top of his route. So a lot of people use – it's all about, you know, shoulders and all that. He is – no, no. He is not a hard plant guy either. It's a foot fire, and then you don't know exactly when he's going to come out. Then, boop, he just kind of sneaks out. It's he's got a nice little knack for it. He creates separation. And one of the other things I was thinking, man, is 13 kind of the underrated receiver number? Like, are kids asking to wear 13 now? I see Keenan Allen out there, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham. Like, when did 13 become the receiver number?
It didn't, but when Odell Beckham donned it, that's when it really became popular. He moves the needle when it comes to what young people want to do. That's why you're seeing the increased popularity. But when you talk about those receivers, what number is Mike Evans? Did Mike Evans wear 13? Does he wear 13?
Yeah, I think he is 13. That's correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe just a little situation. 13 is the new hotness.
But who knew?
All those guys you talk about. Man, I can only imagine. You talk about Keenan Allen, the foot fire. Kids I coach at the high school love watching his releases because he has so many. He truly is a basketball player on the grass, the way that he maneuvers around the field. Impact.
It's fun. It's fun. You learn. I mean, look, Keenan has a million different tricks in his bag. He kind of does a hesitation release, and guys just can't get their hands on him. He was not featured that much in the team session yesterday. I was kind of surprised. Mike Williams got a lot of action.
Yeah.
Travis Benjamin got some work. But then it's kind of like it's just Old Faithful. You can get Keenan Allen. You can get 8-10 yards anytime you want it. It's going to be there for you. But it looked like Phillip was trying to get a little bit comfortable with the rest of the guys he had there. But long story short, joint practices, I'm all for it. I even suggested, hey, in the preseason, I wouldn't care. I mean, if I was a fan and you told me that they put a different colored jersey on the quarterbacks and you just had to tag them off and get a quick whistle, I'd rather go see, you know, Drew Brees play for a half and get him out in the field where he's got a quick whistle and a different colored jersey, and to see him not play at all. I think the fans would get more out of that. And then I got pushback on Twitter. Oh, it's not real football. How can you evaluate defensive linemen? I'm like, easily. You beat the guy in front of you, and you get to the quarterback and tag him off. I know you can rush the passer. I don't need to see you bring him to the ground to know that you can win a one-on-one battle up front. So I thought that was kind of silly.
It is kind of silly. Like, people always want the other side of the argument. However, if it's your favorite team, and you were to lose your marquee quarterback in the third preseason game, your Super Bowl hopes are pretty much out the window. If I am a team trying to get back on track, I want to make sure I have all of my weapons available the first week of the season. We can run them. We can condition them. We can do all that other stuff. But I just need to make sure that my guys are ready to play when it's time to play.
Let's take a moment to bring you a message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Everybody knows about the risks of driving drunk. You can get in a crash. People could get hurt. People could even get killed. But let's take a moment to look at some surprising statistics.
Almost 29 people in the United States die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the last three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives each year. Many people are unaware that driving while high can be just as dangerous. In 2015, 42% of drivers killed in crashes tested positive for drugs. Not so harmless after all, is it? And get this, from 2007 to 2015, marijuana use amongst drivers killed in crashes doubled. The truth is, driving while high is deadly.
So stop kidding yourself. If you're impaired from alcohol or drugs, don't get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, let's get to another topic here. Teddy Bridgewater, been a name that's been in the news a bunch with his play. You know, you can make an argument that he's been the best quarterback in the preseason with the way he's played. He's been outstanding. His name has been circulating in the trade market. You know, somebody could come make that move. Looks like the Jets are very open to moving him in that salary as they go with Sam Darnold, and they have Josh McCown kind of already in place to be the backup. But what I said, first of all, was – I wouldn't give him away right now. I mean, if you're getting offers for fourth, fifth-round picks, I'd just be patient. Let's wait and see. Are there going to be some injuries that take place with contending teams? Maybe that price goes up. And from everything I've been told, Sam Darnold loves that room. He's getting so much feedback and so much assistance from Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. It's a phenomenal learning environment for Sam Darnold. So I think Teddy, even if he's not on the field, has value. It'd be another set of eyes there and some way to bounce things off of for your rookie quarterback. I wouldn't be in the business of just taking the first offer that came my way. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes a lot of sense. I think the thing with Teddy Bridgewater, right now we're in a game of musical chairs, and all the chairs are kind of booked up. With Teddy Bridgewater, he just needs to continue to finish out the preseason the right way. Have a great game in week three. Have another solid performance in week four. Now he's created the conversation where everyone wants to know what could he be, what will he be long term. I think for the Jets, though, he's kind of more of a bigger asset to have on the squad. I think he gets more money by hanging out, playing on a proven deal, and then being able to go and do it. If I'm the Jets, I do that because then I get the compensatory pick, which will be bigger, a second or a third, and I'm doing right by Teddy because I'm really giving him opportunity to relaunch his career.
Yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with Teddy Bridgewater. One thing that I don't think that the GM Mike Maccagnan, or if I'm Teddy Bridgewater's agent, I would have been a fan of, is the comments from Dr. Dan Cooper. Dr. Dan Cooper, by the way, if I was ever a doctor, which if you saw my grades, you knew that was not a possibility, I think I would go by Dan. I think Dr. Dan has a better ring to it than Dr. Daniel. I think Dr. Dan has a nice little ring to it.
If
but Dr. Dan Cooper.
Pediatrician, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe. Yeah, Dr. Dan Cooper did the surgery on Teddy's knee. And in an article, I believe it was on ESPN, where they were really trying to make it a feel-good story about Teddy, how he kind of went against the odds and overcame this tough injury. And it's kind of a feel-good story about Teddy. But if you're in personnel department or looking at it from a personnel side of things, I don't know if I want these quotes out there from Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan said it was horribly grotesque. That's one quote. He said it was almost like a war wound when he opened up his knee. Like, that is not if I'm talking with Maccagnan and I'm saying, you know, I want to make a trade for Teddy Bridgewater, talking to the owner, saying, you know, hey, we might have to part with a third-round pick, and maybe that third-round pick could become a second-round pick. It's going to cost us a little bit here, but we feel like he's in great shape. He looks good in the preseason. And what's that, a war wound? Excuse me? His knee looked like a war wound, and we're going to give up a bunch of picks. Are we confident that this knee is going to hold up? Not doing anybody any favors with that one, Dr. Dan.
I mean, he certainly didn't help him. Like, for all the good things that Teddy has overcome, he has put himself in a position where he's been fantastic in the spring. People are talking about his play, not in the spring, in the preseason, and they're talking about his play. The injury is still a concern, but, man, when you go into the detail where you really explain this, man, it kind of makes him a medical risk for everybody.
You think?
You just don't
yes.
know what you're dealing with. Not smart.
No, I did not. Yeah, I don't know how that works either. If they signed off on that, if Bridgewater's camp or the Jets signed off on him talking to the media, I'd be like, whoa. That's medical stuff. Let's keep that between us here. We don't need to be sharing that with the rest of the world. Anyways, I thought that was kind of definitely kind of odd there. Let's get to our AFC and NFC North preview here before we get a couple college players we think are going to break out here. Buck, let's start here with the AFC North, and I think we probably got to start right there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your thoughts on them this upcoming season?
Pittsburgh Steelers, I feel like, are kind of falling back to the pack. Despite having Antonio Brown, despite having Lev Bell, who will eventually report Juju Smith-Schuster, and the emergence of James Washington, I still have some concerns about this team because I don't know if their defense is good enough to really keep people under 30. We talk about the game shifting towards arena ball where everyone – with the offense has an advantage. And Pittsburgh, their inability to cover in zone, and man, is problematic. They have to fix the defense. They want a chance to win the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at linebacker, we'll see how that all comes together there. You look in the secondary, we'll see how that comes together as well. There are some questions on that side of the ball. For me, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why this team, with as much talent as they've had, haven't been able to get more things accomplished here in the last couple of years. That's kind of a mystery. You know, whether that's, you know, it's been leveled off just a little bit. I don't know. I think they're in pretty good shape offensively, as you mentioned, Buck, but I look at who you got to scheme against coming off the edge for that team, like who you worried about. I love their down three. And when you look at Hayward, Hargrave, and Tuitt, three really good players. And they've got some steady Eddies outside, and T.J. Watt's a good player, but he's not a premier pass rusher. Bud Dupree's a good player, but I don't think you build a game plan around him.
No.
And then I look in the secondary, and it's okay. It's okay. I don't know. I just – to me, it feels like when I look at them, it feels more like a – you know, 10-win team than maybe a 13-14-win team, which is, like, there's no shame in that. It's just I don't see them at the tippy top of the AFC anymore.
That's funny because that's what I've written down, 10-6. I think they're a little bit above average, but not.
You're going to come after us, though.
I know. I just don't.
Steelers are coming. Trust me. Steelers Twitter, not happy.
They're fine. I mean, the thing here. So here's my real big issue. Ben Roethlisberger needs to elevate his game. So he got rid of Todd Haley. Well, they just didn't renew his contract. So he has his guy in as the offensive coordinator. Is this guy really ready to be an offensive coordinator? Not in the regular season, but in the postseason, when you really got to scheme it up and it becomes a tactical game, can Randy Fincher do a good enough job to get them over top? Because, look, I think Todd Haley is a top five, top 10 offensive coordinator. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a grab bag when you bring a new guy in to deal with Ben Roethlisberger.
So we're kind of on the same page there. How about the Baltimore Ravens?
You know,
I'm a little bit high on Baltimore, and people say that's because I work there. Now, there's been years where I've picked them and other years where I haven't been as high on them. I think the defense has a chance to be really good. I don't love the fact that you get one of your best corners here suspended for a few games. That doesn't get me all that fired up with Jimmy Smith. But I still think there's a lot of depth there in that secondary. I think they've got a lot of depth overall on their defense. I think they can roll some guys through. And Suggs still looks young. Golly, he came out 2003, Buck. He's been playing forever. But, no, I think they're good defensively. Offensive line-wise, it's probably a little bit of a concern for me. They got to get everybody healthy and on the field. I do think they're better at receiver. And we talked about it previously. I think Joe Flacco, I think the Lamar Jackson thing really did light a fire under Joe Flacco, and we're seeing a little bit better Joe Flacco so far. I know it's the preseason. But to me, that's a positive sign.
Very positive sign. Look, I've been one of the biggest detractors on Joe Flacco, and I will say, watching him against the Indianapolis Colts, he was A+. He was everything everyone expected, everyone talked about, everyone projected him to be. Ball came out fast. He was able to push the ball down the field. Marty Morenbrick did a good job of putting the weapons in the right spots that fit where Joe Flacco likes to fit. Overall, it was probably one of his best performances that I've seen since he entered the league, and that's including the magical run that led him. He led the team to a Super Bowl.
All right, team nobody has talked about. I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard one word about the Cincinnati Bengals?
No.
Literally nobody talks about this team. Remember, for a while, we're like, this is, if not the talent, one of the most talented teams in the league. Expectations were always sky high. Can they get over the hump? It just feels like right now nobody talks about this group.
Yeah, I think the years and years of disappointment has made it where you don't talk about them. But look, they're talented. They won a division because they typically accumulate rosters that you can't take chances on. But when they play pretty well.
How many wins do you see for this team? By the way, our guy Jesse Bates, my Fort Wayne brother, he's starting. They got Georgia.
Oh,
Luka.
Boy.
Just went ahead and cut him free because Jesse Bates just beat him out, man. That's what we do when we grow up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne tough.
Let's see. Cincinnati, I'm going to go 8-8. I'm going to take the over on 8-8. I think Marvin has a way of getting these guys to play against teams that, you know, like that aren't able to necessarily like contain A.J. Green, and they will have a tough time dealing with Joe Mixon. I think they have so much firepower on offense that if they can put it together the right way, they can be really, really explosive. Defensively, I like what they're doing. I know they moved on from George Iloka, but you talked about the young guys that they're putting in the mix, the young corners that they also have in the mix. Still have to put 8-8 because I just don't know if Andy Dalton is ever going to play at the level that he played at under Hugh Jackson.
You're just never going to totally buy in on Andy there. All right, let's get to the Cleveland Browns. Let's just cut right to the chase. We've seen plenty of them, Hard Knocks, everything else. We know what's going to happen there with the quarterback position. It is Tyrod Taylor's job, and it's going to be for a while. Put a number on this team, Buck. Give me a number.
7-9?
That's a good number for them. I think they'd take that right now.
7-9. You taking an over and under?
Yeah, improvement of 7 wins. That's tough to do in the NFL.
I know. You taking an over and under?
I think I take the under just because that's a long. I think the roster's in pretty decent shape, but it's just winning. You got to learn how to win, man. It doesn't just happen.
You got to take care of the ball. Don't turn it over.
Well, I think they'll do a better job of that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with what they do with the running backs. I talked to Baldy on the phone earlier this morning because I know he's a big Nick Chubb guy. You've been tweeting about him. I like Chubb. I just don't see
nothing. There's nothing.
Big time
nothing.
Burst. There's just
well,
no burst.
Was like this. So after we talked, I think yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, we talked about the rookie running backs and the difference between undrafted and drafted and why teams should really explore the undrafted market. I listened to Jay Gruden's press conference after Adrian Peterson was signed, and he said, look, running backs come in two categories. There's the early down back, and then there's the third down back. Mm-hmm. For me, the reason I couldn't have a lot of value for Nick Chubb is he's an early down back only. And I believe running backs have to be able to make contributions in the passing game to really have the effectiveness to warrant a big rate.
Yeah, I mean, he can catch the ball. He's not going to be somebody that's going to be a real precise route runner. It's going to carve you up, and you can do different things in the passing game with him. Again, he runs hard. He's got some lateral quickness to him. Just I didn't see any juice, any real burst once he got out in the open field. I think Carlos Hyde will end up being the guy there with Duke Johnson, getting some work as well, obviously, with what he does in the passing game. But I'd probably go under. I know I had to make these predictions, and I know they're throwing that out on social media right now. I made it long before your training camp even started. I think I maybe put 5 wins on him.
But that's all right. Who cares? Every day is a new day.
Everything is an improvement. All right, let's flip over here quickly to the NFC North. Vikings, why don't we start there, Buck? Kirk Cousins did not look great last week. Their offensive line is a little bit worrisome to me when I look at them there, but I just think they're going to play such great defense. They get everybody back and get Dalvin Cook rolling. I don't see how this team doesn't win 11-12 games.
I don't see how they can do it either. Their defense is terrific. Adding George Iloka to that secondary only fortifies the position because that was only the glaring weakness. Like, who was the opposite safety of Harrison Smith? Would they take care of that? They now should be good to go. Pass rushers, linebackers, cover corners, safeties that can hit. They have everything. Offensively, what are we going to do? New offensive coordinator. How does he – kind of get Kirk Cousins going while getting the guys going that were doing it last year? What plays can he take from both playbooks that also work? Then mixing in some of the other stuff.
Here's the answer. It's Michael tough. Boone. Michael Boone is the answer, Buck. Get my undrafted running back, Michael Boone,
You're
in the mix. Nothing against Latavius Murray, but I would cut him so fast and just give the ball
take
to Michael
jobs
Boone.
Away.
I like Michael Boone when he brings the table. He's got more juice. So, to me, and he's cost nothing. So, Rock Thomas is another undrafted free agent that's interesting there. We talked about it off the air. You've touched on it. To me, pay the stars at the running back position. The middle class, I think, is in danger at the running back position. When you talk about that mid-tier money, because I can go out and get these undrafted kids to do the same thing. Pay the stars. I get that. Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley's pay him. That's cool. But in that middle group, I'll take the Corey Clements of the world. I'll take the Michael Boones, the Rock Thomases of the world, the Chris Warren, who we saw toting the rock here for the Oakland Raiders. There's a million of them, man. So I just don't know why you pay the middle class there at that position. I just don't think you need to.
If you have a good scouting department, you have a clear idea of what you want, I think you certainly can turn over the rock and find some guys. I think the thing that's interesting about the Patriots, not necessarily that they find guys with the right traits to fit into their scheme, and they put them in a situation where they can win. I think other teams have to kind of look at that and find a way to do it. I'm curious to see what Minnesota does when it comes to that. I'm also curious to see what the Green Bay Packers do when it comes to trying to fit people.
Yeah, let's get to the fighting equanimous St. Browns here. What do you think on the Packers, Buck?
I mean, I think they have a guy that is explosive. He's dynamic. He's terrific. And they haven't had a playmaker like that since they had JaMychal Finley. And when JaMychal was there, JaMychal gave them the opportunity to really have a big body playmaker on the outside that could create mismatches. Aaron Rodgers could find them down in the red zone, could use them over the middle of the field. Jimmy Graham is all that and more. Big, athletic, can post up, can command the middle, can take the ball off the rim, does a great job of making it happen. And so you get Jimmy Graham, and then you get the young guys coming in, MVS, Equanimous St. Brown, Jamal Moore. They have the opportunity to really flip their wide receiver.
Don't sleep on Jake Kumerow.
Oh, I saw him.
Preseason star.
I saw him with an 82-yard touchdown on a curl.
A little giddy up to him.
Yeah, ran away from everybody. Didn't jump in the stands.
I like that. And defensively, we'll see. That to me, that's where I have the questions. We'll see what this defense looks like, how they come together. I do. I am bullish on Mike Pettine. Haven't been around him with the Baltimore Ravens. I think you'll see a little more creativity, a little more aggressiveness there That'll serve them well. I think there might be an adjustment period, though. Let's give them a little bit, see how that defense comes together. We look at the rest of that division, the Fighting Matt Patricias, the Detroit Lions. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, like, here's a weird one for me. Like, you can come in and do all the New England stuff, but, man, you better win. So they've took, like, a guy like, look, Jim Caldwell, I would say maybe more player-friendly, but had those guys kind of going in the right direction. They won 9 games, but they always wanted more. So then you got Matt Patricia coming in, a little harder, a little more ornery. I can't say that everyone in the building loves it, but for him to kind of justify and say doing it his way is better, they're going to win more than 10 games. I just don't know, because on defense, they have Ziggy Ansah as a frontline star, but nobody else that can complement him. Darius Slay has played better at corner. I just don't know if they have enough on defense.
I don't think there's enough dudes on defense, and this is a team I know some people are all in on them because they have some real talent at skill positions offensively. And, look, they've got a couple big-time players on defense. Darius Slay's a stud, but I just collectively, defensively, I don't see it. To me, this looks like an 8-8 type team. That's what I see from this group this year.
Man,
let's get to the last team here, the Chicago Bears. I think I made the statement. Maybe it was a bold statement. I don't think it was.
Oh, it was very bold.
I said they're the most improved team. Like,
I thought you said most improved going to the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game. You sure?
No.
I had to run that tape.
I just said it was the most improved team from last year to this year. Although once you go through the Browns roster from last year to this year, maybe they could stake that claim. But I do think the Chicago Bears team looks drastically different this year, especially get these young bucks up and running and some of these free agent additions that they made. But Anthony Miller gets me fired up offensively. James Daniels getting plugged in. Their second-round pick from Iowa, and obviously we both had a man crush on Roquan Smith and what he's going to do for that defense. So the rookie class is good, and they were ultra-aggressive in free agency, getting some weapons, Allen Robinson. And really the star for them has been Trey Burton, who they brought over from the Philadelphia Eagles, who's a perfect fit in this scheme.
To me, it's all about the scheme and the way that Matt Nagy tailors this scheme to get the young quarterback going. They need to get him going. He was brought in specifically to elevate the play of the quarterback, which will elevate the play of the offense. They've tried to do some of these college things to try and help him find some steady Eddie completions, but he has to play better for the Chicago Bears to have any chance of closing the gap on their rivals. He has to play a lot better. Mitchell Trubisky has to play better. I know I'm going to hear from the alums, but hey, it's the truth.
There you go. There you have it. There's a little AFC, NFC North preview for you. Let's get to a couple. I just want to throw a couple names out here before we get out of here. Getting fired up about this college season. I've been talking to some buddies that have been out, scouts that have been out visiting schools and got some interesting takes on some guys. One of the things I just like to ask is, like, just who are the blue chippers? Like, give me some blue chippers that you've seen. I have just done a little bit of work on these guys, so I've got a lot to go and really haven't cranked up the whole draft process. But you always want to start early. And give me some names. Give me some guys I need to watch. Who's got you fired up when you're out on the road? So I'm going to fire some at you. You ready here?
All right, let's do it.
Greedy Williams, a corner from LSU. It's very legit. Need to do him. Say he's a top tier player.
Hey,
Do you know anything about him, Buck? I don't know. I haven't done
it. I mean, just another in the long line of corners coming out of LSU.
Great name.
He's going to have a high football IQ. He's going to be athletic, and he knows how to play as a pro. They groom pros down there.
Yeah, he's a great all-time Hall of Fame name, Greedy Williams. Noah Fant, the tight end from Iowa. A lot of buzz about him. People that roll through there say he's got a chance to be a big-time dude. Carl Granderson. How about this one? Wyoming with another player, Buck. Defensive end. Called one of their games last year. He is long, athletic. Came in, I think, at 210 pounds and is really bulked up. I think he's like 6'5", 6'6". He's an interesting one there, defensive end from Wyoming. The tight end, who is a redshirt sophomore for Missouri, I just call him Albert O because I do not know how to pronounce his last name. It's very, very long. Okwegbunam. I don't know yet, but I'll get there. I'll figure out his name. I couldn't find the pronunciation guide anywhere. I was trying to hook it up, but couldn't do it. So I'm just going Albert O, redshirt sophomore tight end from Missouri. Looks like a big-time dude, and they said he'll be Drew Locke's guy this year. He'll put up big numbers.
Wow. I'm excited to see Drew Locke throw it all over the yard. So if he has a receiver, a playmaker, someone that can do something with it, it only bodes well for him because we have more quarterbacks set to enter the league. We need to see these guys throw it around the yard. So to get a chance to see him catch it from Drew Locke, should be a good season.
Couple more here, last couple here. Michael Dieter, there's a lot of talk about the other tackle at Wisconsin, but Michael Dieter, scouts that have rolled through there, really, really intrigued by him. And that same person said that that might be the, you know, one of the best offensive lines he's seen. He said the Wisconsin group, and they've had a bunch of guys roll through there, said they are enormous and they are good. So all this buzz, I think Wisconsin's preseason, what, 4 or 5? Some people thought, you know, hey, that's a bit much. They've got a big-time running back. They have got a great offensive line.
Yes.
Don't sleep on them. I could see them in a one-off in the Big Ten championship game knocking out Ohio State. That wouldn't shock me.
Oh, I mean, I've seen them do it. The way they've been able to run against anybody. Now, the quarterback play is always, they always need to find a way to be able to do it. But they have some playmakers. They can run the football. And when you can run the ball, they can control it. And maybe, I guess this guy was in Baltimore. Was Jim Leonard there when you were there at all?
Yeah, Jim Leonard. He was a great player. So look, loved him.
Look, he's a defensive coordinator for the Badgers. He does a great job of putting his guys in situation to make plays. He creates chaos on opposing quarterbacks. He is a star in the making, man. There are a lot of people that really think he's going to have a chance to be a head coach at some level.
Yeah, that's a good one. The last name was with all the backs at Alabama, and there's like a 5 backs. But the one guy said, hey, Josh Jacobs, like nobody talks about him. But they
really?
Said he is a good back, just a really good all-around player. So that was another one I was told to keep an eye on. So the other thing was folks that have done their homework said Washington – and we both love Coach Pete, and we'll see how they do down there. But just talking to people that know both rosters from a scouting perspective, it was very, very much Auburn. So we'll see how that all shakes itself out here when they square off the best game of week 1.
See, but here's the thing, I just know. You remember when Boise used to knock off everybody?
Oh, they went into Georgia, saw them beat up on a bunch.
Whenever you give Coach Pete time, he always finds a way to find his way to the win column. Auburn messed up by giving Coach Pete too much time. He'll find a way to pick him apart. I expect the Huskies to be able to win.
Yeah, we're going to we'll save our picks. We got our picks next week.
Why?
I think Kent might be coming in. He's not even working right now. He's still going to come in off the street just to do the picks.
Wow.
Pro bono. Kent's all fired up about college picks. You got to do better this year, Buck. I'm going to challenge you as a friend. Sometimes you need a friend to encourage you. Sometimes you need a friend to challenge you. I'm going
to
do the latter.
I need to be challenged
this year. Yes.
So I need to make sure that I study and get it all right, and
yes.
I come in with the odds.
I don't need you to win. I don't need you to win it. I just need you to be the best you, okay? Let's be the best Bucky you can be in your picks this year.
Well, I mean, a little secret. I don't think we're on podcast. Pick 'em show. So.
Oh yeah, no, that's gone. So, I don't care about picking the NFL games. We're talking about college games.
So, but I mean, it's all a part of it. It's all a part.
This is the problem.
Games.
This is the problem.
You know what they do to me.
You know what they're going to do to me? They're going to put App State, Penn State in there week 1 because they know
they
I
need
ever
to do
pick
that
against them. So I already cost me one. Or did it? They might get one.
You think they're going to snatch them down? They're going to snatch them down?
Oh yeah, we'll have plenty of time to get into that next week.
Snatch them down.
Wow. Good luck to you in your high school football game this week.
First one, right? First one as the offensive coordinator going to the Bay Area to play St. Francis High School. I think they're defending state champs.
What are the chances? What do you think the chances are that anybody on St. Francis' staff listens to the pod?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt anything.
So I was going to see if you're going to give me the first play call. What we got? What we coming out with?
Oh, dive right up the middle.
Oh, are you? Oh, put it out there.
Mean, I don't know. It's a dive.
Set the tone, baby.
I don't know. Who knows?
Are you just that cunning that you actually go
maybe,
and play action? You're
maybe,
hoping that
maybe,
one of those coaches
maybe,
is listening
maybe
to
try,
this
thing. Maybe we're trying to do something different. Who knows?
I like it. Hey, let's go get them. Aggressive. Hey, channel Doug Peterson, Buck. They're going to think.
Fearless.
Coach is going to think you lost your mind. It's going to be like 4th and 9 on your
I already
30.
Get called to the principal's
office.
Yeah,
we're going,
office
Coach. We're going.
I always get
fearless.
Called. I get called.
No, Doug Marone.
Yeah, we're going. Hey, no gas. All gas, no brakes. That's what we talk about. All gas, all right. No brakes.
I love it. Last thing, anything you're working on in the notebook?
Stuff we've already talked about. I'm talking about Teddy Bridgewater a little bit. I'm going to do an evaluation of Josh Allen. I'll be the first to admit he has played better than I expected first preseason. Let's see what he does in a dress rehearsal. I think if he does a decent job, he gets the job. And then we're going to talk about Adrian Peterson. Any juice left?
All right, we'll see on that. Good stuff there. NFL.com/Bucky Brooks. You can find Bucky's notebook each and every Friday. It's a must read. Be sure to check that out. Thank you guys for listening, subscribing, all that good stuff. Thanks for leaving us those reviews on Apple Podcasts. Those do help. I see we keep, as we get into football season here, we keep kind of climbing up the ratings here as we get going here. We've got all your NFL needs covered here, all your college needs. You can check out our videos, NFL.com/MTSvideo, YouTube.com/NFL. You can find all kinds of Move the Sticks content on there as well. We've got our video show, which is every Tuesday. You can find that as well, and that's NFL.com. Locate that one, and that is 7 o'clock, Cam. Is that what time that bad boy goes? I think it's
7 p.m. Eastern time.
Hey, man, Sam, Cam sounds like a play-by-play announcer back there.
Oh, yeah, Cam's great. Cam is running the show today because we got Sully on a little vacay.
Yeah, we did a little Sully watch before we went on, and it wasn't anything too interesting.
Oh, no?
Cam,
no.
Could you give Bucky real quick what Sully's been doing via social media in his big vacation?
Yeah, supposedly he watched Hoosiers to, I guess, really laud in the fact that the whole track is fantastic, the whole musical score is great, and then retweeted
down the soundtrack.
Yeah, and then retweeted something from Mike Leach. So, obviously, it's it's bedlam in Tennessee right now.
Retweeted something from Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Wow, he needs to be worried about his guy, Jeremy Pruitt. That's what he needs to do. He needs
Cam,
to love the one you're with.
Yeah, no question. Hey, Cam, real quick, before we get out of here, just because I know Bucky's dying to ask you to do this, can you just give me a first and 10 Tar Heels ball on the 20-yard line.
Man.
Just give me a little taste of North Carolina play-by-play. Just give me a little taste here.
So is Bucky the wide receiver in this situation?
Yes.
So who's throwing to you?
Oh, there'll be a Jason Stanisek.
Jason Stanisek?
Yeah, Jason Stanisek. Stano.
There you go. You can go Stano.
Right.
Stano back to pass. Let it rip, Cam. Let's get a little play-by-play audition here.
First down and 10, ball spotted on the right hash mark, moving from left to right on your dial. 7:19 remaining in the first quarter of action. Jason Stanisek, the third-year quarterback, makes his way out onto the field. Bucky Brooks will line up, I formation. Two wing set, Bucky to the far side of the field. Stanisek, three-step drop, looks left, airs it out. Bucky Brooks, wide open, touchdown, UNC.
Somebody's been doing this.
Yes!
It's not his first time.
Oh, my gosh, that was incredible.
Is that good? You guys like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think it was as good as Bucky's Cowboys call a couple weeks back, though.
No, that is good. Hey, Cam, just so you know, standard agent fee is 10%. I will do it for 7%. Done.
All right,
my first client.
Perfect.
Hey, like, it's funny. So, Cam, my guy coming up was a guy named Woody Durham. His son, Wes Durham, is the play-by-play guy for the Falcons. I swear your voice sounds just like him.
Oh, really?
Like, when I listen, if you listen to Woody was always the voice of the Tar Heels forever and ever. And Wes does the Falcons in Georgia Tech. And – it is like the same thing.
He's on
Sirius
Radio, too. Wes does a lot of
stuff.
Oh, does he? Yeah, he's on with Pac-Man. He's on with Mark Packer all the time.
Oh, yeah. Who's Billy Packer's son?
Yeah, he's great. All right, dude, that's it. We'll sign off on that. That's a walk-off. Cam, nicely done, buddy.
Thanks, sir.
All right, boys. Good to see you, Buck. We'll reconvene. Hopefully, Notre Dame High School is 1-0 when we get
back this week. All right, talk to you guys.
All right, see you. We're out of here.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.